Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Amar Bar Hamduri Amar Shmuel. Hershu Yad Lamei Behem. If somebody put his hand into the inside of an animal, the Dildel Uber Shebemeha, and he dislocated an embryo which is inside the animal, the halacha is that he's chayiv. My Tama, what's the reason? Amar Rav Bar Hamduri Asberli. Lav Amar Rav Sheshes, did not Rav Sheshes teach us? Haiman the Tosh Kishusim Mehizmi Vehigi, somebody who detaches barley from where it grows. Mechayim Mishim Oika Dovah Megiduloi. Hachanami, here too, when somebody detaches this baby in its mother's womb, it's Chayim Mishim Oika Dovah Megiduloi. A big machloikus Rishonim, what is the melacha exactly that one violates when he dislocates this animal? The Yerushalmi and the Ramban, passing like the Yerushalmi, other Rishonim passing like that Yerushalmi, that the Isser is Koitzer or Goizis. Ramban, however, says that the Isser is Chavola, killing the baby, as we've been learning over the last couple of days. Chavola is a serious Malach on Shabbos, and this is in the category of Chavala. The reason there are some Rishonim that don't want to learn that it's because of Kaitzer, because as the Ramban says, the Malach of Kaitzer is only applicable by something which is a Gedulei Karka, and an animal is not Gedulei Karka. So the Stipler asks a Gvaliga question. We learned that one of the Malachs on Shabbos is milking a cow. And we learned that the Issa milking a cow is Dosh, which is part of Mefarik, Dosh. And when we learned that tomorrow, we asked the question that the Rishonim asked, that Dosh ain't Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. So how could it be Dosh when you milk an animal? And the answer that the Ramban gave was that an animal is considered Gedulei Karka, because the animal lives off what it eats from the ground. So, ask the stipler, why when we learned Melachis Dosh, didn't we had a teretz that we said that an animal is considered Gedulei Karka? And why in our Gemara do we not say that it could be considered Kaitzer because it's Gedulei Karka? So the stipler says that what's considered Gedulei Karka for Dosh and what's considered Gedulei Karka for Kaitzer are not the same. For he explains, Disha is a melacha that's done with something that's already detached from the ground. So since it's detached from the ground, for its definition to be considered a Gedulei Karka, we're not talking about something that's attached to the ground anyway. We just need that it has nourishment, that it grows from the ground. And for that, teaches us the Ramban, that since animals live off what grows in the ground, that's enough to make the animal to be considered Gedulei Karka. However, says the stipler, when it comes to Kaitzer, the definition of the Melacha of Kaitzer is that you're taking something out of the ground. And to be considered taking something out of the ground, it has to be actually in the ground. And this animal, which is in its mother's womb, is not attached to the ground, and therefore for that melacha, it's not considered Gedulei. For that melacha, it's not considered Gedulei Karka. Amar Abaye, says the Gemara, Haiman the Tolash, if somebody detaches Pitra, Muna the Chatzva, a fungus, mushrooms are a fungus that grow wherever it is it could grow, so it could grow even on the handle of a pitcher. He's also going to be chayiv for Oikadav Megdula, because that's where it grows. That's where it gets your nika from. Ask the Gemara, Moser Vaishya, it says in the Mishnah, Hatoilish Motzitz Nokov chayiv. If somebody takes something out from a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom, so that flower pot is getting nourishment from the ground, he's chayiv. However, if it's a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, so it's not being nourished from the ground, you're not chayiv from Kaitzer. So we see that to be chayif a koitzer, it has to be attached to the ground. Answers the Gemara, the two situations are not comparable. Hasam lav hainu risa. The proper place for things to grow out of the ground is from the ground. And therefore, if it grows on the handle of a flower pot, for example, if it grows in a flower pot without a hole, that's not what it's meant to be grown from. Whereas fungus are meant to grow out of the pitcher's handle. And therefore, when you detach it, you're chayif. So we learned that if somebody has chayiv oif in his rishus, if you capture them, you potter, it's not considered seder. But if you do chavola in them, you chayiv, that's considered seder. Amar Huna, kaisen tefillin al gabi or shel oif tahor. You could write tefillin on the skin of a kosher bird. Amar Rav Yosef, so says Rav Yosef, my kamashma, what are you teaching us? This layar, that the skin of a bird is considered skin. Ask the Gemara, Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah, because we learned in the Mishnah, ha-chayvel behen, if somebody bruises a bird, he's chayiv. And as we discussed extensively in our previous year, you can't be chayiv for bruising skin unless it has skin. So obviously, birds are considered that they have skin. Amar Abaya, Tuv Kamashwan. Rav Huna is teaching us a big chiddush. Dimas nisa havin mina, kivin isvei nikvi nikvi, since the skin of the birds have holes, they're not kosher for tefillin, because you have to have ksaftem, a good piece of paper. Kamash malon kere amri b'marava, kol neka shadiyoy oiveris alov, any hole that's not so significant that the ink could pass over it without being noticeable, the halacha is that it's ein nekev, and you can write on that. But I did see that it's from the Shalos HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud Beis, Simen Hei, that if a piece of paper, a piece of parchment that you're writing on has holes, that if you write on them, you could see on the other side of the paper, the halacha says that Tzitz Eliezer, it's l'chatchila not to be used for the parchment, but the evidence, okay. Meisvei Reb Zeira, how can we say that a bird's skin is considered as hide? The pasuk speaks about the knofof. The Torah over there discusses the procedure of shisua, in which a oilus oif is partially torn before it's burned on the mezbeach. The Torah says the word beknofof with its feathers, that it should be done while the feathers are still on the bird. So now, all the feathers are included. Beknofof, lahachshesar, the teaches that a bird's skin is also burnt on the mizbeach together with the rest of the bird. Ask the Gemara, visakadatacharhu, if we're going to say that the bird's skin is considered or hechemabele kra, the halacha is that when we bring a carbon oila, we don't burn the oif, the or on the mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, amalei abaya, arhu, indeed, the skin, the hide of a bird is considered or. Aye, by an oilless behema, we don't burn it. Here, by Rachmana Rabbi, the Torah explicitly teaches us that this skin, even though it's considered hide, should be burnt on the Mizbeach. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of this discussion. Amrav Zeira Afanan Namitanina, Beknofov, when the Torah uses the word Beknofov, Lerabbis is or, to teach us that the or of the oilless oif should be burnt on the Mizbeach. Makes the Gemara its point. If we're going to see that it's considered or, so now we understand, now we understand why we need a pasuk to tell us that it should be burnt. Because normally the or of an oila is not burnt on the Mizbeach. And here the Torah tells us not to treat this like all other oilas, and it should be burnt. Eli Amrit. Lav arhu, but if we're going to say it's not considered or, so ma'is v'krol ribuye. Of course, it's part of the bird, and anything that's part of the bird needs to be burnt on the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, amalei ba'il oil ma'il malach, it's not compelling. I'll tell you lav arhu, that perhaps it's not considered skin. Vitzrich, salkadat chamina, Kivin de ispe pirtzei pirtzei. Since the bird's skin is full of holes, moss, it's something that's not befitting to put on the mizbeach. Kamash Milan, that's what the Torah has to teach us, that it can be put on the mizbeach. Ask the Gemara. Bamine ma berei de ravina bar menachem bar yitzchok. Ma lichta tefillin al gaba or shel dag tohor. Could tefillin be written on the skin of a kosher fish? Amalai. So he answered, im yava eliyo v'yoyma. If Eliyo should come and tell us. Ask them, my im yava eliyo v'yoyma. So the posh pshat in the Gemara is, Torah lay b'shamayim hi. And we don't rely on Eliyo HaNavi to tell us what is the proper halacha. So, what are you relying on Eliyo HaNavi? So says the Chassam Sofer, that Eliyo HaNavi could appear in one of two forms. He could appear as a human being, or he could appear as not in a physical way. When Eliyo HaNavi appears as a human being, says the Chassam Sofer, he's regarded as a human being, and therefore he could teach us Hilchas Torah. When he appears as a Malach, then we have the concept of Torah Laba Shemaim Hi. The Rambam says that a Navi is not believed if he adds, subtracts, or changes any mitzvahs of the Torah, because Zois HaTorah Loite Mechlefes. So just like a Navi can't say that Hashem told him to change a mitzvah, so too says the Rambam, in the same way, a Navi can't tell us how to do a mitzvah because of the concept of Torah Loi B'Shemayim Hi. So, ask the Rambam, even if Eliyo HaNavi were to appear as a human being, how can we listen to what he's saying? Don't we have a concept of Torah Loi B'Shemayim? So, answers the Mishnah LeMelech, there's a difference between a psak halacha, which depends on svara or on way to understand a pasuk, versus a psak halacha, which depends on metzias, telling us the facts. In other words, if we don't know if a piece of meat, where this piece of meat is, if it's kosher or not, a Navi could tell us through nevuah that this is a kosher piece of meat. So now, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, the question about the kashrus of writing tefillin on the skin of fish is a question of metzias, and that's why that's something Eliyo HaNavi could decide. So says the Gemara, Mayim Yova Eliyo V'Yoyma, Ilem Islay Or, Iles Lay Or, if it's to tell us if the fish has skin or not. Chachazinen, says the Gemara, we see clearly that it has Or. Ela, Eliyo is going to come to tell us, Elam Yova Eliyo V'Yoyma, Ipaska Zumimine, Iloi Paska Zumine, whether it's still, if it's clean or it's not clean. So many Rishonim and Achronim ask, this is also sort of difficult to understand. We could touch it, we could smell it, and we could see if it's clean or not. Why do we need Eliyo HaNavi for this? So the Ran says a beautiful pshat. The Ran says that at the beginning of Bryas Olam, at the beginning when the world was created, and when Adam and Chava did the Aveira with the Nochosh put a Zuama into all human beings. But, says the Ran, the Gemara says that when Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai, to Kabbalah Satayra, Paska Zuama son, that Zuma was removed. So says the Ran, everybody, all people and animals were by Har Sinai, and therefore they had Paska Zumasan. But the fish were not at Har Sinai, and therefore, since the fish were not at Har Sinai, therefore they did not have Paska Zumasan. Maybe they didn't have Paska Zumasan, and therefore they can't be used for tefillin. The Sfasemis says a different pshat. The Sfasemis says pshat that an animal, to be able to eat an animal, you have to have shechita on an animal. If you have to have shechita on an animal, so that is what makes the animal go up a level. However, when we speak about fish, that we know fish don't have to go through any special process, So fish, in order to be eaten, don't have the shechita that make it rise to a higher level. And since they don't have the ability to rise to a higher level, that's why maybe they don't have the way to be able to become kosher to write on them tefillin and mezuzahs. I skipped the line. The Gemara says, "Vayra tanan at samis hadog va'oyroi." The bones of a fish and the skin matzilim ba'oil hameis. We've discussed that you have something in oil hameis, and this halacha explained the Rishonim that we're about to talk about does not strictly apply to kli cheres. But if you have a sealed vessel in oil hameis, the halacha is that anything in that vessel will not become tamei. And the halacha is that the oiroi can be used to make that seal, because it's not makabel tuma, and anything that's not makabel tuma is considered a valid seal. So the question is, isn't it clear that it has skin? So the answer is, yes, fish certainly have skin, but as we're learning in Gemara, we don't know if it's paskus or manasa. Says the Gemara, Shmuel v'karna havyasvi aguda de nahar malka. Shmuel and Karna was sitting at the bank of nahar malka. They saw that the water of the river was rising and not clean. So Shmuel said to Karna, Gavra Rabbi Kosma Marova, it must be that a great person is coming from Eretz Yisrael, v'chayish b'meye, and he has stomach problems, v'kadolamayim l'kuba apikamei, and the water is rising to greet him. The Mefarshim give two pshatim. One pshat is that it was the water got dirty, that the water was rising to cover him as he was relieving himself. Another pshat that I saw, that the water was rising to clean him as he relieved himself. So he said, Shmuel says to Karna, Zol tole kankane. Go check him out. Tole kankane means to sniff the wine. And as the Mefarshim explained, that was what Karna did for a living. Karna was a wine merchant, and the wine merchants, to determine the quality of the wine, would smell the wine. So what Shmuel told Karna was, go check him out. Just like you check the wine, go check him out if he indeed is a great person. Says the Gemara, Oza Ash Chayla Rav. He met Rav. Amalei, Menayin Shein Kosin Tfilin. How do we know that we could only write Tfilin? El al gaba or behema tayra, only on the skin of a kosher animal. Amalei diksiv, because the pasuk says, "Leman tia taras Hashem beficha, minamut beficha." The only type of skin that could be used is something that's minamut beficha. So he said to him further, "Menayin ledam shu edon." How do we know the blood is red? And as the Mefarshim explained, we all know the blood is red. His question was, how do we know that only if you have a red discharge would a woman become a nida? Shenema, v'yir of moyim menegad esamayim adumim kadam. That blood is red. Menayin l'mila shabay samakim. How do we know that mila is done in the place where a man is a man? Nema kan arlosoy. The Torah says regarding mila arlosoy. Menema l'halon, regarding the din of fruit tree that gives fruit, that the first 3 years it's arlo. The Torah uses the word Allah. So, Malahal and Davisha Sapri, it's talking about a fruit tree that gives fruit. Afkan, Davisha Sapri, it gives fruit, which is where a person uses to reproduce. Ema, but ask the Gemara, but maybe the meal should be done by Liboy, by his heart. The Ksiva Matam is Arlas Levavchem. Maybe it should be done by the ear. Ema Oznam, the Ksiv Arlas Oznam. And as I saw that the Yifei Torah says that the Gemara didn't mean that they should cut out the heart or cut out the ear. What the Gemara meant was that perhaps we should cut near the heart or near the ear where the person would not be permanently damaged. And that's how we do the Mila. Answers the Gemara, Donan Arlos Tama. By the Bris Mila, the Torah uses the word Arlos Oi. Merlos Oi Tama, which the Torah uses by Arl as well. Then Dana Arlosotama, whereas where the Torah doesn't use the word Arlosoi by Lev or Oizen, Marlashenatama. Amalei, So he realized that he was coming to check him out. And I saw the Sefer Yalkut Yeshua explains that the Gemara Masechta Chulin Daf Pes Amud Aleph teaches us that Talmud Chacham has to be an expert in three areas: Shechita, Ksiva, Shechita, Emila. So that's why the three questions that he asked him. He asked him, what do you write Sefer Torah, which is regarding Shechita, which is regarding Ksiva. He asked him about blood, which is Shechita, and he asked him about Mila. So he said to him, Amalei Mas Shimcha, what is your name? So he said, Karna. Amalei Yeravah D'Teipelei Karna Be'enei. You should have a Karen emerge from your eye. The way most Mepharshim explained was that he should get a cataract. So the Chazon Ish asks, how do we understand Rav's behavior? We're learning now that Rav cursed him. He cursed Karna. In a moment, we're going to learn that Rav cursed Shmuel. The answer is, says the Chazon Ish, that there's a concept of Kavod HaTorah. And Rav felt that what was being done here was a tremendous lack of Kavod HaTorah, and therefore he did what he did. Says the Gemara, L'soif Ayla Shmuel Abesei. But Shmuel saw that he had this stomach issue. Achli Naam Desari, he gave him barley bread. V'kas D'harsin on a fish, and a food made out of fish. Veshka Shachra, and then he gave him beer. V'lach, which caused a person to need to go to the bathroom. V'lach V'lel Abesei Kisa, but he didn't show him where the bathroom was. Kecha Del Ishtalsho, that it should build up the need that he should have to go to the bathroom, and then he'll need to use the bathroom in a diuretic way. Layat Rav Omar, Rav cursed him and said, Manda Mitzarim, whoever caused me to suffer, Leluk Me Bei, should not have sons. But can't have her. Indeed, that's what we find, that Shmuel had only daughters. And as the Mepharshim explained, the Gemara says, Kilalas Chacham Afilu Al Tanai Hiba. When a Chacham gives a Klala, it comes even if he didn't mean to. Rav cursed Shmuel because he thought Shmuel was doing something to harm him. Shmuel really had the best of intentions. But still, once Rav uttered this Klala, the Klala remains. Why did Rav give him specifically this Klala? Because, says the Sefer Chodesh Ha'aviv, because when Rav was held back from going to the bathroom, he wasn't only held back from going for gedolim, he was also held back from urinating. And somebody, the Gemara says, who doesn't go to the bathroom when he needs to urinate, it causes him not to become sterile, not have children. That's why Rav gave this curse. So I saw that the Sefer Shor Mitzion Balocha asks, how could Shmuel prevent Rav from going to the bathroom? Isn't there an Isra about the Shaksu that if somebody needs to go to the bathroom, you need to go, you're obligated to go right away? Says the Sefer Shor Mitzion Balocha, from here we see that if somebody's holding himself back from going to the bathroom for a medical purpose, that is permitted. Ketanoi. So now the Gemara says, we had a discussion, where is the Machloikis, where is the Makom HaMila? So he says that actually this question is a machloikis tanoim. The Braisa says, "Menayla mila shavoisa makim." How do we know the mila is done where it's done? Nemakan or losoi. It says here regarding the bris mila or losoi. But nemalahalon. It says regarding orla, the mitzvah of orla on trees, fruit trees, or losoi. So malahalon davishoy sapri afkan davishoy sapri divrei reboisha. Rav Nosaim ain't a tzorich harei oimel. The pasuk in describing the mitzvah of mila says va'oral zochor ashla yimel as besar olosai. So we see from here that where's the bris mila conducted? Makom in the place in a human being's body shenikar ben zachros onakvus, where you could tell whether he's a boy or a girl. Tana rabbanim kais and tefillin al gaba or behemetayra. We could write tefillin on the skin of a kosher animal, v'gaba or chay t'hoira, on the skin of a kosher chaya, v'gaba or nevelas v'treifishalhen, even on the skin of a nevela or a treif of those animals, even though that particular animal may not be eaten because it's a nevela or a treif, but they come from a kosher animal. V'nechrosis besaren, you're allowed to wrap them in the hair of these animals. You're allowed to sew them with their gidin. And in fact, there's a halacha of Moshe Sinai she hatfilin the crosses besorin, the tefillin should be wrapped in the hair of kosher animals minitbaros begidin. And that's the reason Rukiv Ega says that we don't mention here oif tahar, the skin of oif tahar. Then we learn earlier in our Amid, says Rukiv Ega, that you could eat, that you could use our oif tahar for tefillin. It says Rukiv Eger, there are no gidin, and there are no sa'aris by oifis, which are required for the tefillin, and that's why the Gemara didn't speak about the oif tahar over here. Avil, continues the Braisa, and kais v'lo yagaba or behemot tameya, tefillin may not be written on the hide of a non-kosher animal, v'lo yagaba or chayet tameya, not on the skin of a non-kosher animal, of a non-kosher chaya, v'en tarach lehem agaba or v'nevel v'tref v'shlehem. Vein nechrochus besaren, vein et boros begidin. Says the Gemara Vazu, Sheila Shal by Susi Echres Rishua Garsi. We know that Basusim are the people who didn't believe in Torah. The Mishnah says, Masachta Ovis, Paragimel Mishnah Aleph, that Tignas is Soicha said, Altiu Kavodim, Hamashamshim Sarava Nasla Kaba Pras. Don't do the mitzvahs in order to get reward. Altiu Kavodim, Hamashamshim Sarav. Not for any reward. And when the Talmidim heard this, they thought that so there's no schar, there's no reward for doing mitzvahs. And therefore, they became stukim and beisusim, and they didn't believe in Torah. So, Shaw beisusim echres of Shua Garsi. Menayin shal kosrin tefillin al gaba or behemot tameya. How do we know we may not write tefillin on non kosher hide, or the hide of a non-kosher animal? So he answered the ksibuk of the pasuk says, "Leman tia taras Hashem beficha, medover hamuta beficha." Only something that you can put in your mouth. An animal that's not kosher, you can't put it. So he asked, "Al me'ato al gaba or nevelus atreifus al yikasevu?" You shouldn't be allowed to write them even on the skin of a nevel of a treif of a kosher animal, because we're not allowed to eat those animals. Omeloi, to which he responded, two people were obligated to get killed. One was killed by the king, and one was killed by the executioner of the king. The one that was killed by the king. So the nevela and the treifa, which were killed by the king, are more significant, and the nevela, which is dies by itself, therefore certainly can be used for tefillin. Of course, Tosfos points out, so that's only if the nevela died by itself, so got killed by Hashem. But nevela is also an animal that was killed by a person, just not killed through shechita. So why are we saying that a nevela is harga melech? So Tosfos answers, since in the family of nevela are animals that die by themselves, animals that die by Hashem killing them, so that deal that covers for the entire family of Nevela. Elamata. So he asked him, if animals that are killed by Hashem are so special to you, so Yechelu, we should be allowed to eat them. Amalei, Atayra Emru Lo Sechel Kol Nevela. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat it. Vat Emru Yechelu. You want to suggest that we should allowed to eat it? If the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to eat it. Amalei, to which he responded, Kalos, well said. But there's a very interesting point made by Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Sefer Beis HaOitzer on this Gemara. He says, we know that we're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat. But when we speak about different Isurim in the Torah, there are two categories of Isurim. There are what's known as an Issa Gavra, something that is the person's not allowed to do, or there's an Issa Cheftza, that's something that is not based on the individual, it's based on the object. So he says, from our Gemara we see that the Isser, to eat Nevelus and Trefus, is not an Isser Gavra. On the contrary, the Gemara is making an argument, he explains, why Nevelus and Trefus have an advantage, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them. What is the reason that they're Osir? As the Gemara just said, the Torah says we're not allowed to eat it. And whatever the Torah says we're not allowed to do under any circumstances. It becomes an Isser Cheftza. Our Mishnah begins a discussion, the Mishnah, the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, about making salt water and what is the reason and when and where it may or may not be done. So see, she's asked the Mishnah, Ein Oysim Helmi B'Shabbos. One may not make salt water on Shabbos. And Rashi, on Amabay's Divrei Maskel for Haloi, explains that the reason you're not allowed to make salt water on Shabbos is because it's similar to the Malacha of Ma'abed. When we learned the Malachas on Daf Ayin Gimel, we learned that one of the Malachas is working with leather, tanning leather, and this preparing salt was very much part of the process of making leather. Certainly, when you're making salt water for eating purposes, is you're not doing ma'abid, but it's an issa derabbanan. It seems that the Rambam's opinion is that the issa of making salt water is in the category of bishul. It's doing things to prepare the food. Aval oisu mei melech. The Tanakhama holds that you're allowed to make a small amount of salt water. V'tayla and peitoi, you could use it to dip your bread in it. V'naisno taicha tafshol, to use it for food. Om Rabbi Yossi, so to which Rabbi Yossi comments, V'loihu hilmi bei meruba mei mu'ut. What's the difference if you make a small amount or you make a large amount? Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, Elehei mei melech ha-matarim, when may you make salt water? Noisin shem l'chatchila taicha mayim. First, put oil into the water, or put oil into the salt. For by doing this, explains Rashi, you weaken the salt. And because you're weakening the salt, it doesn't look like ma'abed anymore. And that's why, if you do it in that fashion, it's mutter. My comer asked the Gemara, what is the definition that the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make kilmi, but you're allowed to make mei melech? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Hach Kamer. This is what the Mishnah means to teach us. Ein oisim mei melech merubim. To make a lot of salt is prohibited, because that looks like ma'abid. Aval oisim mei melech merutim. When you make a small amount of salt, then it doesn't look like ma'abid. What is the amount of what's a small amount? So the Magen Avraham and Simon Shin Chof Aleph Sif Cotton Dalit says, as whatever you need for the meal that you're about to eat. The Yoraba is more lenient, and the Yoraba says anything that you make that you're going to need for this Shabbos is still in the category of Mu'utim. So the Mishnah quoted, Amar Rabbi Yossi, V'layahu Hilmi, Be Merubim Mimiatim. Says the Gemara, Boiluhu. How do we understand what Rabbi Yossi means to say? Rabbi Yossi le'eser or le'hater? Does Rabbi Yossi mean to say that because I don't understand the difference between small and a small amount and a large amount, and therefore Rabbi Yossi is going to say everything is aser, or does Rabbi Yossi say everything is mutter? Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Hatter. It means the Rabbi Yossi coming to say that all amounts of salt water are permitted. Mid like Tani, because if Rabbi Yossi meant to say that everything is Osir, the Mishnah should have said Rabbi Yossi Osir. And if he didn't say that, that's why it must be that he holds that everything is Mutter. Omalei Rava, but how could you say that? Hamid Tani Sefer, we learned further in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Elamei melech hamutarim, that when is salt water permitted? When you add the oil. Mechlal, isn't that clearly indication? Rabbi Yossi le'eser. Rabbi Yossi is coming to say that all salt water are prohibited, and only if you put in oil is it permitted. Elam Rava, Rabbi Yossi is coming le'eser, v'chein am Rabbi Yochanan le'eser. Rabbi Yossi holds all salt water is aser, and so too the Rabbi Yochanan says the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. However, how will Rabbi Yehuda explain? Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain that Rabbi Yossi is addressing the Rabbanan. And he's saying, I hold that all salt water is permitted. You who say salt water is prohibited, at least if you put in oil, then agree that it's mutter. Tanya nami hachi, einos melech merubin losos l'toicha kvashim. You're not allowed to make a lot of salt water to put vegetables in it. Shvetoicha gristera, they used to keep it in this broken klicheris. Avloisu mei melech mu'otim. You're allowed to make a small amount of salt water. V'echem ben pitoi, to dip your bread in, v'nois l'toicha tafshol. Am Rabbi Yossi, v'chim nei alolim merubim, v'alolim mu'otim, these are, you make a lot or a little. Halol asura, halol matarim, does it make it osur or mutter? Yoimru. So is that going to become a precedent that melacha meruba asura, melacha mu'atim ateris, that when you do melachas on Shabbos, there's a difference if it's a large amount or a small amount? Ela ve'ela surahim. It's always osur. Ve'ela heim melech matarim. When is mei melech mutter? Nois and shemna melech. Put the oil into the salt. Or shemna mayim. Or put the oil into the water. But don't mix the oil and the water first. The question is, what will the Chacham hold? The Chacham hold, would the Chacham also agree to this heter of salt? Or they will strictly hold that the difference is between a lot or a little? We're machmer that we only make a small amount of salt water on Shabbos. As in Tznoi v'esruk simen. Tanan, says the Gemara of Yudah ben Chaviva, ein oisem mei melech azin. You're not allowed to make a lot of salt water on Shabbos. Mai mei melech azin. Rabbi Rav Yosef Abba Adam Tavai, kol shabei tzofa behen. If the egg with salt was float on it, then it's not considered real salt water. The kama, how much is that? Oma baya, trei tilsi melcha, v'tilsi maya. 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. L'may avdalei, where do you make such strong salt water? Am ravu l'maraisa. They used to put the oil of fish into it, and that's the kind of salt water they used. Tanar Rab Yehuda, v'chaviv e'im marchon tzloin ubeya b'shabbos. We may not salt radishes or eggs on Shabbos, because it looks like ma'abed. Rav Chisk Mishmei Dabai Amar, Tznoin Osir, radishes are indeed prohibited, obey Materis, because the salt doesn't really do anything for the egg. And since it doesn't accomplish anything for the egg, therefore it doesn't, it's not Osir. Whereas in the radish, it accomplishes something, and therefore it's Mutar. Therefore it's Osir. The Magen Avraham says, it's not dependent that much on if it accomplishes or doesn't accomplish. The Magen Avraham says it depends on, is this what's usually done? Radishes were usually salted, and therefore they may not be salted on Shabbos. Eggs were normally not salted, and therefore they mat. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Mreisha Machna Pogla. At the beginning, I used to salt radish on Shabbos. Amina of Sudikam Sabnulai. I thought that I really aren't doing anything positive on behalf of that radish, and therefore I may salt them on Shabbos. Damishmu, pugla, churfamali. The sharpness of the radishes is what makes them good, and the salt takes away from that sharpness. However, kivin the shmana laha, the chiyasa ola, amma b'marava malchi kishri, then at the salt they used to put stacks of salt on top of the radishes. Mimlech la malachna, I didn't salt them. But to dip each piece of radish in the salt, that I did. Tanav chib ehuda bar chaviva, esrik tznoin ubeya, and molai kalplots and achitzoina, not that the fact they have the outside shell, by an egg it means the whiter shell, and yotzim neim naim loyal, and they will never go out of the system. So the Truma Sedeshin says that even though you're not allowed to salt radishes, you're allowed to dip each piece of radish individually in the salt, and then eat each piece separately. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Shun Chaf Aleph Sif Dalet. And this is a very important halacha, because here we're learning that there's an isser to salt radishes on Shabbos. And therefore, you have to be very careful, not only if you're eating radish on Shabbos, how you're allowed to salt it, but even if you're putting it into a vegetable salad, there's a problem. However, based on our Gemara, if you are careful to put oil into that salad dressing before you put the salt, then it wouldn't be a problem. And furthermore, if you salt each piece separately, the Mishnah Berurah says even if they're kept on the you're only eating one piece at a time, but if each piece is salted separately and kept separately on the dish, we could also be lenient. Nobody ever drowned in the Yam HaMelech. Amar Rav Yosef, Havfucha Sodaim, Havfucha Mila. Sodaim was, we know, turned over, and and what's said about it is turned over. Gavra Hu D'Lo Tava. Are you saying that a person never drowned in the Yam HaMelech? Kshura Abim Tava, which is not the case. Amar Abayi, let me buy you Kama. What he meant to say was like this. Let me buy you Kshura. That feel of a Kamemish Ba'olam Lo Tava. A beam usually doesn't drown. That's why you see many times beams floating on the water. Ela fila kavra. But a person, the tov become mamish ba'olam, that normally does drown. But yamet stoim lo tova, in Yam HaMelech people don't drown. Lamay nafkamina, why do we have to know this? Says the Gemara, the Rava Hamashokav Oza Chure de Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ravim was walking behind Rabbi Yirmiyah. Agud of the Yam the Stoim on the bank of the Yam HaMelech. Amalei ma'al mimshi mahani ma'im b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to put on your eyes from this water on Shabbos? Because we're about to begin to learn the Gemara that refuah is also on Shabbos. The reason Chazal said refuah is also on Shabbos is because gzeira of shchikas hamamonim. If you're going to be allowed to use medicine on Shabbos, you may come to put on the medicine, you may come to make the medicine, which involves a melacha. So the question is, are you allowed to put the Yam HaMelech water on your eye on Shabbos? Amalei, Shapadami. It's permitted. Because anything that's done, that people say you're doing it for a regular purpose, people are not going to say that the reason you're doing it is for refuah, may be done on Shabbos. But then he asked them, Ma'al Lameimetz Ul Miftach, what about to open and close my eyes when I put the Yam HaMelech water into my eyes? Amalei Zulay Shemati. I don't have an answer to this question. Aba Kiyotz B'Shemati. I heard something similar. So our Gemara discusses here the Yam HaMelech. So I saw that the Sefer Oitzei HaYedias explains that what made the people of Sodom, we know they were Rishoyim, they were people that took and never gave. So when we look at a river normally, what happens in a river normally is it gets water from other places of water, and then it distributes that water further. The Yam HaMelech gets water from the Yarden, but it doesn't have that water pass on to other bodies of water. The waters stay in the Yam HaMelech. And that's what the Gemara says the Sefer Oitzei Yedias, the Zeh Loi Nena, the Zeh Loi Chaser, that I don't gain anything and I don't give anything, it's the Stoim. And that's why the Yam HaMelech doesn't have any fish grow in it, it doesn't have any living things in it, it only takes and it doesn't give. That's called the Midas Stoim, somebody who only knows how to take and not give. So the Gemara says, sometimes he said this halacha in the name of Rav Masna. And sometimes he said this halacha in the name of Mar Ukva. And both of them, and both of them said these dinim. One was said in the name of from Shmuel's father, and one was for Levi. Chadomer, one of them said, either the father of Shmuel or Levi, Yayin b'toicha ayin osur. You're not allowed to put wine into your eye because it's obvious that it's being done for refuah. Agav ha'ayin. But if you don't put it actually into your eye, that's mutter, because people will say you're just washing your face. And as the Mishnah Berurah says, that was only in the time of the Gemara where people would wash their face with wine. Bezman hazeh, nobody washes their face with wine, and therefore bezman hazeh, nobody can even put wine on the face, not even into the eye. The charam a roik tuffel, the saliva of a person who hasn't eaten anything since he got up, which has healing properties, a fil gaba ayin osur. even on top of the eye is asur. Nobody washes their face with saliva. Testaim. And as we just said, one was said by Avud Shmuel, one was said by Levi. Says the Gemara, Testaim, I'll bring you a proof that Avud Shmuel hu da'amah yayin b'toicha ayin asur, that he was the one that says wine in the eye is asur, agaba yayin mutar. Midam Shmuel, Shmuel teaches us, sharem adam pita b'yayin, a person could put his bread into wine, the nice agaba ayin shaps, and then put it on his eye. The Shmuel emiman, because people are going to say he's only doing it for rechitza and not for refuah. Presumably, who did Shmuel hear this from? Lav, the Shmuel emavua. So we see that the halacha about the wine is, was said by Shmuel's father. Ask the Gemara, l'tameich, hadam Shmuel. Shmuel taught us another halacha. Roik tafa afil agaba ayin asur. Saliva of a person who hasn't eaten may not be put on the eye. The Shmuel emaman, from whom did Shmuel hear it? Again you say, Elaim with the Shmuel emavua will say that he heard it from his father. So then it turns out that both halachas we just learned are attributed to Shmuel's father. A Levi v'loi chadamer. And it's going to turn out that we have no halacha to attribute to Levi. Ella, and which is not true, because we clearly learned one of these halachas was said by Shmuel's father, and one was said by Levi. Ella chad Shmuel emavua. One of these halachas Shmuel heard from his father. V'chad Shmuel emelevi. And one he heard from Levi, but we don't know, v'loi ha'dinan, ha'im avua ha'im Levi, which was the halacha that he heard from his father, and which was the halacha that he heard from Levi.